Okay, let's get going. Hour number three with Dr. David Duke, who has his remarkable program on the Rents Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday here, and repeated as well. He is coming to us from Louisiana now. If you have not seen it, please go to the top at Rents, click on the video, The Orlando Terror, The Dark Side of Diversity. Click here to view. Just click here and view it. Watch it. It's not very long. It's just superb. You will be shocked by some of the sound bites you'll see in there, some of the video. It's all true. And I want you to take a close look at it, share it, comment on it, do whatever you want, but by all means, look at it and consider it. Hello, David. Welcome back.
Oh, fine. How are you?
I'm okay. Are you awake? It's late there.
Actually, I went to bed a little while ago just to try to take a nap before the show, and I'm glad that your call woke me up again, and now I'm wide awake and ready to go.
We always do that, waking people up. Your video...
That's what I try to do every day of my life.
Yeah, I know. Your video is extraordinary, and I wasn't overselling it at all. It's wonderful. It makes the point so clearly, as you do so well. It's not David Duke up there pontificating. It's the facts arranged and presented for you to consider. You make up your mind. All you got to do is look at the facts, which are hidden from you by the mainstream media. How's the video doing?
It's doing great. I think it's got 12 or 13,000 views on one copy, and there's other copies out there floating around. And
good.
I'm sure it'll have 40,000, 50,000 in just a few days.
Good. All right. Now, what did we learn in the last few days, beside the simple fact that Hillary Clinton and Obama used actually the same words in denouncing those who would demand that they use the term radical Islam? They both said that they dismissed the term, calling it magic words, both of them. So there's conspiracy there, collusion, obviously. This is an agenda. I've never seen a country more politicized with a more corrupt agenda than I'm seeing now. It's really embarrassing, very ugly, and I don't really know what to do about it, except run videos like yours and the stories I'm trying to select and present to people so they can make a better decision. And you're not going to find this on the mainstream media venue. It just doesn't happen. What are you hearing from people? What's the pulse of America?
Well, I hear from a lot of people all over the United States. In fact, all over the world. I interviewed a couple of people from Europe this week on my show. And I hear the same thing from the entire Western world. The truth is that our heritage is under a withering attack.
Oh, it's marked for extermination. Yeah.
Well, we are literally being, and this is, it sounds so radical and it sounds so almost unbelievable, but we're just literally being wiped out in the nations our forefathers built. This country was built by European people who gave us our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. In Louisiana, there was a black member of the House of Representatives in the body that I served. And she got up there and she made objection to a bill that was just supporting the idea that school children be taught the Declaration of Independence. And she said, well, that this is terrible because the Declaration of Independence is a racist document.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And a document that hadn't even been verified, like it was somehow a bogus document. I mean, this is the founding document of the United States of America. Right. And she called it a racist document because she says that slavery existed, therefore, you know, in other words, our kids shouldn't read the Declaration of Independence. I mean, it's just the woman was ridiculous, ignorant, very, very stupid, frankly.
And you mentioned she's a black woman, but it doesn't matter. I'm seeing the same stupidity in all races and all colors. I'm seeing stupidity. It's unbelievable.
Well, maybe at least the black people have some sense of loyalty to their own basic interests. You know, even a cockroach will try to escape and save itself if you go
after
it. Well,
one of the quotes I remember from a black American, I cannot remember who said it, I'm sorry, but it was said probably by more than one person. He said, "I am so thankful that my ancestors were brought over here and we're not still in Africa." And he look, slavery is hideous, but there's an upside to everything. It gave these people ultimately opportunity, and they have now as much opportunity as they've ever had. And I think that's what he was trying to say.
Well, that's right. You know, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Many of our founding fathers did. But to say that this makes Europeans evil is ridiculous because...
Well,
you
who ran the slavery business? Come on.
Well, it's ridiculous because... The truth is, yes, that there were a percentage of Europeans that owned and practiced slavery in the United States.
No, it was a Zionist enterprise. The ship registries are all clear. They even have that. It's the slave business was essentially, you've done it, you've studied it.
That. But what I'm trying to say is that to allege that Europeans are somehow evil because a number of Europeans practiced slavery, black slavery, for 250 years is patently ridiculous because, of course, slavery existed in Africa not for 250 years, but for tens of thousands of years.
Right. Right.
And the truth is that Europeans realized that the institution of slavery was not right, that it was not proper. They ended it on their own. They freed the slaves. And, in fact, the British Empire went around the whole world to try to end slavery and to free black slaves. And the truth is that Europeans, as they went down into Africa, they stopped slavery. It's actually coming making a big comeback today in Africa. But every people on the planet practiced slavery. I mean, this was practiced in Asian countries. It was practiced by Aborigines. It was practiced in Africa by the tribes. Not only slavery, but horrific genocides between tribes, which still go on today in our modern world. We had slavery among the Indian tribes. I mean, the Aztecs actually cut the hearts out of living people, and they enslaved, and Indian tribes genocided other tribes, and to point their fingers at Europeans. The funny thing is, you know, is slavery in America, only about 2% of European Americans ever owned any black slaves. So the likelihood is that an African in America has much more likelihood, historically, if you go back to Africa, that it's much more likelihood for a black person to have a direct ancestor that owned black slaves and mistreated black people than it is for a white person to have owned a black slave.
Yeah.
So it's just a complete bogus situation, and it's just basically it's a very evil, racist attack upon Europeans for saying Europeans are terrible because they did the same things that every other race did. But somehow they're going to be singled out, and we're going to be evil for that. They don't mention, you know, the medicine that we created and the beauty and the powerful, wonderful things that have benefited black people and people all over the United States of America.
Did you hear that somebody allegedly got a digital video recorder? They sequestered it somehow and got it into the Bilderberg meeting or parts of it, and they video recorded what was going on in there. And the word I get from my source is that that video is going to be posted. I hope it is. I hope it's true. But the primary conversation was directed to two things. One, war with Russia is coming. They're going to foment it. They're going to make it happen. That's their agenda. And two, the utter annihilation of what's left of European culture and heritage in the invasion of millions more Muslims and sub-Saharan blacks. All kinds of different minorities. They're going to just be poured into that, what's left of Europe. It's very sad.
It for a long time, and it's going to definitely increase. You know, a lot of people don't understand yet, Jeff, that there is a war raging in America. And it's not just against Robert E. Lee and Southern heritage. It's a war against America and the people whose forefathers created America. I mean, it's a war against the people listening. It's against you, and it's against your children. Now, here's this black elected official. Her name was Barbara Norton. Louisiana House of Representatives bitching that the Declaration of Independence is a racist lie. And I understand, you know, I get it, that Miss Norton hates America and its founders, but I bet you that black legislator wouldn't trade places with a typical black woman in Africa. You know, it's not, if that's not true, then why are so many blacks, Mexicans, and others around the world trying to trade the nation they live in with a nation founded and created by those horrible, racist white men and women? And so the hypocrisy about all this is just amazing. It's crazy. You know, the truth is, as you were saying, that because of those, quote, evil white folks, you know, the black people in America are measurably better off than the 99% of black people in Africa.
Oh, at least.
Maybe she shouldn't, instead of condemning white people, she should be thanking white people for the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights that we're so lucky to live under.
Well, it goes back to the situation that the blacks really, I think, came up against. In the early mid-1950s, African Americans in this country were well on the road to assimilation. They were making the commitment to be Americans. And then the 60s, of course, turned everything around. They went 180 degrees the opposite direction. Black pride, African roots, and all of that. And it took them right out of the game. They were on the way. In the 1950s, there was a big turning point, which nobody wants to talk about. But I think the bottom line is, as you say, if they were really honest about it, they're much better off here, even though the slavery horrors were quite real, than they were had they been left in Africa, where slavery is making a comeback. Genocide, tribal genocide, has been the way of black Africa forever. That's what they do.
Well, it is that way, and you know what, I don't really hate Mrs. Norton. I don't really despise her anyway. I truly kind of pity her, but you know, I do despise the media bosses who have taught Mrs. Norton to hate. They've incited black people against white people in this country. You know, there's a Twitter hashtag, Jeff, that reads "Hollywood is so white." And actually, Hollywood is so anti-white. One of the things, I'm doing a video right now, and I'm going to show clips from the Weinstein Brothers movie Django.
Yeah.
And here's where the black hero, and this is the guy that's presented as the great black hero in the movie, he says during the movie, "Kill white people and get paid for it. What's not to like?" This is then after the movie was made, he's brought on Saturday Night Live, which is Lorne Michaels, the Jewish head of Saturday Night Live, and he's given words by their script writers to go on stage, and he talks about how great it is. He says, he gets to kill all the white people in the movie. How great is that? And, of course, the SNL crew puts up the studio applause lights. You know how they do that in those shows. So the crowd will cheer the idea of killing white people. And by the way, Hollywood is not so white like the rest of the big media. It's so, so Jewish.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, if you look at commercials and look at sitcoms and television dramas, they always have the token African-American, sometimes more than one. So often do African-Americans appear in commercials and sitcoms and dramas that you begin to think that, well, gee, they must be about 30 or 40% of the population. So they are getting doors opened for them, and they are appearing, and they're doing very well. But it's not an accurate representation in real life. And it's now being also augmented with certainly Hispanics, but you don't see nearly as many Hispanics as you do African Americans. Not nearly as many Asians, although that's beginning to change a little bit from what I understand.
Oh yeah, that's changing, because they're purposely creating a situation where European Americans are a minority in this country, and they know that they can change more toward this culturally Marxist and this Marxist position. That's the reason why we had a person who's actually a communist, Bernie Sanders, doing so well, and Hillary as well, doing so well today. You know, you're not even going to have a Republican, probably again, a governor or senators from California, yet a lot of, quote, conservative Republicans came from California or, in fact, made their political careers. That's impossible now because of the demographic change. And so what we've got going on in this country, just an absolute selling out of the heritage, because the people who are becoming the majority, they don't believe in the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. They really don't even believe in freedom of speech. You have a situation where a man running for president of the United States can't have a meeting and people can't go to it, can't even meet their, bring their kids even to those meetings anymore because they're a fear of violent, vicious attack by radical communists coming to the meeting, going from the meeting. I mean, it's, and this is America. Just think about the fact that a person can't even run for president anymore, can't go to a meeting anymore safely. And of course, in colleges, they call it safe spaces. There's no freedom of speech left in the colleges. They're safe spaces, all right. Safe spaces.
Isn't that amazing that we have that?
They call themselves, you know, what they call themselves, spaces, and they say that they're for love. Yeah, what they're safe spaces for loving to hate white people. That's what they really do. Now, again, I don't really blame the average black person for any of this. I mean, because they've been so incited by our media. It's not. The whole deal.
No, they've been duped. They're used.
Sure they have.
They've been misled. Absolutely.
And, you know, there's some blacks who weren't misled. I mean, Marcus Garvey was a black man. He was a true black liberationist, and he didn't want to integrate. He wanted to try to empower the black community and responsibility in the black community, his own nation eventually. And I understand those kind of things. That's another good example. We just had the passing of Muhammad Ali. And the media is universal, including, in fact, Obama's told us he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. Well, do people, but the media lies to us. They don't even tell us what Muhammad Ali believed in. And Muhammad Ali, his whole life, believed, he said he was opposed to integration. He said he thought George Wallace was great. He agreed with George Wallace. Can you believe that?
It's
anybody
true.
Who would say that today would be,
yeah,
you know, condemn worse than Trump, I guess. He said that he was opposed to intermarriage between whites and blacks. He said that
absolutely hated miscegenation.
That would
hated miscegenation.
Intermarry with the person of another race is crazy and destructive because every people's got a right to live. I mean, this was Muhammad Ali, right?
Yeah.
And he never renounced those views his whole life. And yet he was a great athlete for sure, but. You really think about the way that they portrayed Muhammad Ali, and yet he had views that...
Well, they don't talk about those views, David.
Probably, in a lot of ways.
They're all kept behind the curtains, those views. They're not talked about.
There's a lot of videos about that. I suggest you do some Google searches. Did you know that Muhammad Ali actually came and spoke to a Klan meeting? Did you know that?
I read that. I find it hard to believe, but I did read it.
I've got an interview where he talks about it.
Wow.
And he actually talks about it. Hmm. And he talks about joking with the guy, with the Klansman and all that kind of... That's Muhammad Ali, believe it or not. And he and the other black organizations wanted to deal with white groups that wanted to preserve our heritage, that we would respect each other and that we would allow each to... kind of develop their own societies. And the truth is, you see, the perfect example of this is, again, I can go back to some of my own history here. There is a famous black civil rights icon by the name of James Meredith. You know who he is, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He was the first guy that integrated, there was riots at Mississippi opposing this integration of Old Miss. And he was that student, and he was famous, and he was one of the most famous black people in America for decades. And so later he realized that forced integration of education was not really something that had benefited the black community. In fact, they had thriving communities, for instance, in towns like New Orleans and Pittsburgh and New York, for instance, in Harlem. They had thriving black communities in Chicago. But when the forced integration came out, a lot of the blacks who were doing better, who were more elite, fled the community, left, and the thugs took over a lot of the black areas. So the average black child ended up being in more of an environment of drugs and violence and destruction because the natural leaders of the black community were now able to go to the white community. along with, you know, some of the bad ones too, but it just didn't, so it didn't really work out for black people. He later came, James Meredith, now this is an icon of the civil rights movement. When I ran for governor of Louisiana, he came forth to me, approached me on his own, and said, I want to support you for governor. I endorse you for governor of the state of Louisiana.
Wow.
That's very interesting. In fact, we had him on one of my my broadcasts. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really believe down deep. I mean, the media calls me a racist and all these things. But,
oh, they got nothing else to do, David.
You know how they are. But the thing is that I don't worry about it. I don't care what they call me, but I know...
You know what they say? One of our Jewish friends once said, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Well, you know, that's true in a way and also not true in a way.
Because, of course.
Yeah, and I tell you one thing, I don't know what's going to happen to the Trump campaign, but they are an all-out just war on Trump, and they're going after him pretty badly.
Well, when this dies down, watch the next assault. They've got him lined up all the way through the campaign season.
They're going to have one attack after the next attack after the next attack.
Yep.
And what happens is people just get worn down mentally, and they think, well, there must be. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Maybe not. I hope you're wrong.
Guy, you know?
I think every time he's been attacked, it has backfired so far. I hope it remains that way.
Yeah, but it's got to take a toll eventually, you know.
We'll see. We will see. All right. Now, your video, again, is up at the top at Rents Top Splash section. Click and watch that video. Go to davidduke.com, look at his other videos, and learn. He is a teacher.
The Orlando Terror. The Orlando Terror. I can't even think of that. The Orlando Terror, the dark side.
Dark side of diversity.
Yeah. That's
right. And diversity. Remember, diversity doesn't work. Doesn't work.
Well, diversity is. The idea of diversity, that there is differences in the world, is a great idea. I mean, the fact that there are different species and different breeds of life, and there are different peoples and different languages and different cultures, it's fine. But they turn this around and say, look, this massive immigration is great because we're going to have diversity in our country. But the truth is that diversity can't really exist unless it's on its own. That's what enables these great individual differences among peoples and cultures and values, which are so great, to tell you the honest to God truth. And what we have going on right now, let's put it this way. Clinton's campaign right now, her new thing is we're stronger together.
Oh, please.
But let's look at what happened, for instance, in Orlando.
Yeah, hold on a second before we jump into Orlando. We got to take a break. We'll come right back.
All right.
In just a minute with David Duke. Okay, we're back with David Duke, and we're just going to jump into David's comments here on the program on Orlando. You can find them on the video, of course, at the top of Rents. Just click and listen. By the way, here's a quick one, David. Cops catch a Muslim at the U.S.-Mexico border with plans for a major American gas pipeline on him. Wonder what that was about.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the diversity thing. I'll try to express some of the sentiments I also shared in the video. You know, we're told, it's been told to us thousands of times by every leader, every media person, every commentator, that diversity is our strength. In fact, they even say it's our greatest strength. And the truth is, that's a lie. Bringing in people into our nation who hate us does not make us stronger. It does not bring us love and peace. It's dividing us, and it's truly destroying us. You know, Clinton's new campaign slogan is "We're stronger together." And you know what, Jeff? She can tell that to the dead and the maimed in Orlando, and to the families of the murdered people down there.
Right.
Those killed in Orlando are not stronger. they're dead, and those who are bloodied and maimed are not stronger. They lie right now, at this moment, while we're talking, helpless, many of them in searing pain in their hospital beds. You know, we're not stronger by being invaded by those who hate us. We're not stronger by becoming outnumbered in the nation our forefathers created. We don't have the same appreciations for the values of this country that we do. And if we lose this nation, if we lose our population and a democracy, then we lose all the values our forefathers worked so hard to build. And in America, you know, like I said, it's not just the Southerners. I'll give a good example. In Louisiana, and this has happened in a number of schools around the country, they attacked George Washington, these black organizations that have taken over a lot of our major cities, as a racist slaveholder, and they've stripped George Washington's name off public schools, saying he's a horrible racist. We saw recently one of the greatest heroes of the United States of America is Andy Jackson. He's very special to New Orleans. He was the hero of the great battle of New Orleans. Sure. You remember Horton's great song.
Yeah, the battle that's right. Of
I grew up singing that song with my friends. But this man was a great American hero. He defeated the British, which would have probably kept the War of 1812 going, and we might not even have this country free and independent if not for his great sacrifices. He became a great president. He was the president that went against and was in favor of the National Bank against the Rothschild banks in America. You probably know that already. He's very hated by these people. They took his picture off of our money. And I tell you, it may sound strange to your listeners, but what's next? I'm telling you, one day, you know, when O.J. Simpson trial was on and he was found innocent, blacks universally cheered that and supported that. Are we going to have O.J. Simpson on our money someday? Are we going to have Mugabe of Zimbabwe? Are we going to have maybe Zapata from Mexico with his bandolas and the...
Well, politically correctness, PC, may kill us like anything else. Multiculturalism doesn't work. Even Merkel, before she was ordered to assist this invasion of her country and Europe by these millions of Muslims, said multiculturalism. She agreed with the former Deutsche Bank number two man who said it doesn't work. She agreed it doesn't work. And she sure did a 180 and flipped
around. And
she just
gave another nuclear powered submarine to the Israelis.
Well, there you go. See, who runs Germany? Who owns Germany? Ever since World War II, the Bolshevik Zionists run it.
Well, it's still an occupied country, to tell you the truth.
That's right.
But we got to understand they occupy us. But it's a lot more than just even multiculturalism and losing our founding fathers or our values. We're talking about losing the very people who created our nation. I mean, the people in this. I'll give an example this way. In this country, if you stand up for any minority and you champion their interests, in other words, if you're a good example is there was a big brouhaha about Trump talking about this Judge Curiel, Gonzalo Curiel, and he said that this guy is biased in this case. Of course, Trump has got this huge reputation about building a wall and opposing Muslim immigration. Well, it turns out Curiel is a member of about five or six major
radical organizations,
Mexican, Mexican racist organization. The only way you can put it, they all support illegal immigration. That is, our laws are not enforced. They
correct.
All support massive legal immigration. They all openly support the idea of what they see as the interests of Mexicans. Of course, black groups and things like the Black Caucus, they openly support what they see as the interests of blacks. And of course, we can't stop this. We can't stop now. And, of course, we have literally hundreds and hundreds of Jewish organizations. According to the Forward, they're literally financed to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
U.S. tax dollars, too, we should add.
And they fight for what they see as Jewish interests. In fact, they support the interests of a foreign country over that of America, right? And that's perfectly fine. I mean, there's no problem with any of that. But if a European-American says, look, I'd like to continue and preserve the European American value system and even the people of this country,
which is what made this country
become a minority. Oh, then you're a terrible racist. This hypocrisy
that's right.
is incredible.
Well, that's what made this country so special. Americans as a culture are a giving, kind, compassionate group. No other country really has ever matched what we were in the 40s and 50s. And that is the point that people forget. And so to honor that, to try to bring that back or to reinforce what's left of it. That ethic, it's viewed as a weakness by those that would destroy us, our kindness, our thoughtfulness, our gentleness. This is a very gentle society. Oh, I know World War II and all that, but remember, we were forced into World War II. We were forced into World War I. The American people never would have had anything to do with either one of them if they weren't pushed into it. But what made this country so special is the part that is actually, at this point, opening the door to its very destruction, its kindness.
Well, that's right. And the Second World War, and we've talked about this a number of times on your show, and we've all talked about this. Instead of being the great victory that they paint for us, it was the great disaster of Western Christian civilization. It caused the death of 55 million people. It gave half of Europe to the communists, and it really installed the Zionists as the power, as the oligarchs of the Western world, which now have opened our gates and are purposefully doing these programs that are not just meant to change our values toward communist kinds of ideologies and values and other sorts of degeneracies and destructiveness, but literally it's wiping our people out. I mean, the massive immigration from the Middle East into Europe, the massive immigration into America is literally going to make us a minority, not only a minority, a tiny minority in this country. And any European American that thinks somehow that the things he believes in, like freedom of speech, are going to be respected, it's ridiculous. You know, it because it's not going to be respected. In fact, there are already, like we talked about earlier, freedom of speech is already going by the wayside in this country right now.
And what comes next, David? Freedom of thought. They're connected inextricably. People are afraid to speak, then they don't want to even think about it. It's just a logical, it's a knee-jerk reaction. So you got freedom of speech, freedom of thought. I look at the two as really one and the same.
Do you even know of the, I mean, do our people even know that are listening, that they've got bills right now before the Congress that are basically saying that at least half of the black prisoners in the prisons of this country, and I'm talking about people on serious drug pushing offenses and so forth, but they also got other offenses, to let them out of prison? They're in there because, they're not in there because of rape and murder and killing and robbery. No, they're in there because of white races, and they're going to set them out. So, I mean,
There are many bills. Very few bills, by the way, are actually written by congressmen and senators. They're written by special interest groups, by attorney law firms, for money. And those bills are then given to the representative, the targeted representative. But the representatives themselves and senators just don't write legislation very often.
Well, good examples of that in the media and how we just get this perverted view of everything. We have this Jewish media just all the time telling us about how blacks are just the terrible victims of police officers. They're talking literally, and their figures show it, a few dozen black thugs and criminals, by the way, have been killed, and I can't say the police have always done the right thing. The fact is, more even innocent white people have been hurt by bad cops.
Oh, absolutely.
Than blacks have been hurt by bad cops.
Yeah.
But of course, most cops are great. And in fact, if not for that thin blue line, as I always say, in fact, because these communities now where the police are such under attack, like Baltimore and Chicago, the black murder rate and crime rate is just going skyrocketing.
You know what happened to the police here to a significant degree is the obvious and simple fact that the chiefs of police in so many cities have been flown, all expenses paid, to Israel for training. And what were they trained in doing? They were trained in suppressing Americans, just like the Israelis suppressed the Palestinians. And they come back here, and the men and women in the forces then are trained in turn to do those very things. So that's been a real negative issue with American law enforcement. And I feel sorry for the good men and women who are out there putting their lives on the line every day. Look what happened in Orlando.
Yeah.
Come on, those police, 3 hours? That doesn't work for me. That's not what police officers are supposed to do. They learned at Columbine. You've got to go into the building immediately. They didn't. They did nothing. 3 hours. They listened to gunshots going off. And then when they went in now, the police chief has admitted that apparently some of our officers killed some of the hostages. Accidentally.
Well, so, that's going to happen when you get into a firefight. That, with
it does.
Automatic weapons, unfortunately.
It does. You know? It does. But a couple of... Look, they had three or four entrances to that place. You can't tell me if the police didn't rush that within 15 minutes. Four or five officers per door with night vision, which they have. It's dark in there. That they couldn't have stopped this? And then we can go further and say, well, what about four or five of the customers? If they, it was a gun-free zone, if four or five of the customers were licensed, taking
exactly.
classes,
well,
they would have stopped
the media,
it too.
In fact, they're making this out like, as you know, Obama, in fact, Trump brought this out, which was right, that Obama didn't even mention radical Islamic terrorism. He didn't even
Never.
Mention that fact.
No, he showed
and
no
by the
sympathy.
Way, I don't care what they practice. If they want to have whatever religious values they want to in Arab countries and Muslim countries, that's okay with me as long as they don't come and hurt us in our country. They have the right to do whatever they want to do and live the way they want to live. But we got to understand we're facing this stuff and because of this insanity of this massive immigration. This could not have happened in Orlando, and it could not have happened in San Bernardino, and it could not have happened in what we had, for instance, in Europe with Paris and with what's gone on in Brussels and what's gone on in London, except for the fact we've had massive immigration into our countries of these people who are basically taught to hate us. And I realize why a lot of them hate us is because our policies have been so controlled by these Jewish neocons. Madeleine Albright went up there and she's responsible for killing a million Iraqis. And our government itself, we are, from the Jewish power that runs this government, we're the ones that aided and supported ISIS. It sounds so crazy.
No.
It's not, and I'm not making a fairy tale.
You're absolutely correct. No, you're correct.
Because of America. America gave this radical Islamic the guns and the weapons and the bombs and everything else to kill our Russian brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, by the way. And then we said, oh my God, who would have guessed that they're going to turn them against us someday, right?
Yep. All right. Then we have pictures of American special forces in Libya standing shoulder to shoulder with ISIS fighters. All right. Whose side are we on?
Well, we've been on the side of ISIS for a long time.
You bet.
When the only thing standing between ISIS taking over all of Syria and what was only the whole Middle East was the secular government, again, not a jihadist government, a government that had Christians in it, believe it or not, one of the few Middle East governments that had Christians in the cabinet under Assad, that had Sunni and Shiite together in the government. It was Syria. I've been to Syria, as you know. I've met a lot of these. I've met the Christian leaders in Syria. It was a great country. And the Syrians had a beautiful, people have been there, and it was one of the best countries in the Middle East. This was turned into a hellhole. Because our government was supporting these radical jihadists with our ally Syria to come in there and start this war. And we promoted ISIS from the beginning. And now we have ISIS killing Europeans. Well, that's because of the Jewish power over this country today. But immigration is what facilitated. So we had the Jewish power that both supported the rise of ISIS and the rise of these jihadists in Syria because they hated Syria, because Syria was aligned with Lebanon. And by the way, Syria was also very aligned with the Christian community. The Christian community was respected and protected. And also, by the way, frankly, they had a huge, almost a million Christians in Iraq. I think it was 850,000 Christians in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They lived safely and securely under Saddam Hussein. And these groups weren't killing each other, but we came in there and we destroyed Saddam Hussein for one reason. He didn't have weapons of mass destruction. He was actually an ally of this country. The Jews made him an enemy and then came in there and caused a million people in Iraq to die, and before that a million more in the embargo, simply because he supported the Palestinians and he was opposed to the Israeli terrorist state of Israel, which, by the way, also attacked America with terror, such as in the Levant affair and the attack on the USS Liberty, and in the doggone treachery and destructiveness of the Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard, who did more damage to America than any other spy in history. So, there you go.
Where is Pollard right now?
He's free.
Do we know where he is? He's in Israel, I guess.
He's in Israel.
Israel.
America,
all right. Yeah.
He's not allowed to go to Israel. He's giving speeches and talking about how great Israel is and how
Yeah.
You know, it was once so wonderful. The guys, under Israel's orders and support and also money, they gave him a lot of money. He literally gave information to Israel of our agents, our secret agents in Europe during, this is during the communist times.
Right.
And Israel then bartered it to the Soviet Union. That's the best information we have. And Caspar Weinberger, who was our Secretary of Defense, when they had the sentencing for Pollard, said this spy did more damage to America than any other spy in the history of the United States of America.
Right. And I remember.
This was a spy for Ali, and the damage was done not just by him. It was given to Israel, which sold the data to the Soviets.
What is there that they won't sell and make a profit on? Nothing.
I tell you. The hypocrisy is so incredible. It's just really amazing when you start looking at everything. You know, you get the Democratic leader of the House of Representatives right now, the head of the DNC, which of course is Barbara Schultz Wasserman. Wasserman Schultz, I guess.
Wasserman
Schultz. I got a tape of hers at the Hadassah meeting. I think we played it in one of our shows with you. And where she's condemning intermarriage of Jews with non-Jews and assimilation. We got a real problem with that. Now, imagine if any congressman, and that she's had the Democratic Party, and she's treated great by the media. Imagine if any European senator or congressman or any European in Europe or any white country of the world or anybody in the world got up and said, boy, it's a real problem. We want to stop this intermarriage between white people or Europeans or Christians and Jews. Yet this is what the Jewish lady does in the House of Representatives, who's now the head of the Democratic Party and supporting Clinton.
Deborah Wasserman Schultz. Don't forget that name.
Don't worry about it. It's like it didn't even happen. It's just like Muhammad Ali saying, you know, the bluebird should be with the bluebirds and the blackbird should be with the blackbirds, and saying that he's opposed to forced integration of education. He thinks that each race should, you know, because people are normally like to be around their own kind, you have a lot more peace. And
he was very pragmatic about things.
Very honest, and it's so true.
Yeah.
When you have diversity within a country, with people with very strongly different political views, values, religious views, cultural differences and racial differences, that is a recipe for violence. It's a recipe for hatred, of disunity, not unity. You know, diversity within a country obviously is not our strength. It's our destruction.
I can't get any more clear than that. So where do we go with this whole thing in Orlando? What do we do next? There's going to be another one. We know that.
Well, you know,
Obama's not going to lead the way. Hillary won't lead the way. Neither one of them will say radical Islam, although Hillary said it, but she said it just as a token. Obama is, of course, Muslim in his orientation. He is also homosexual. He had to make a serious choice. I have a very good editorial about that up. What's he going to support? His homosexuality or his belief in Islam? He couldn't have it
both
ways.
Like always, I guess they have to keep up my reputation of being completely politically incorrect. But did you notice at all in this whole last few days that they called this terrorism and a hate attack? Well, how is it not a hate attack anytime an innocent person? How is the San Bernardino not a hate attack when innocent people are slaughtered in front of their eyes? How is that not a hate attack? You know, why do we have these special designations, or is this not propaganda? Why is it it's a hate attack when a person who's of a particular sexual, you know, affliction or sexual orientation, if they're attacked? It's not a hate attack if people say of a particular heritage are attacked, like white people in an event. I mean, it's just amazing to think about how that they are programming us every day of our lives. What is a hate crime? Isn't any murder or any rape, isn't that a hate crime?
Sure should be.
Does that make any sense? I mean, does it make any sense to you? I mean, and I saw the media said, well, the gay community and the lesbian and the transgender community is especially, you know, upset and angry because they were the victims. Could you imagine the media saying, and there's been a lot of white families who were attacked, all white, and people attacked by different, you know, radical groups and everything else in this country. And there were white people attacked at the Trump rally in Chicago viciously. Could you imagine the media saying, well, you understand now that white people are really upset because they were really targets. They were talked about as racist. They were called racist. The overwhelming white people in these events were attacked and targeted. Trump's called a racist. White people are called racist because they defend them. The hypocrisy. There is racism in America. The conservatives like O'Reilly that say there's no racism in America are totally wrong. There is racism.
It's O'Reilly massive. Actually said that. Wait, David. O'Reilly actually said that.
What?
That there is no racism in America.
But he's talking about racism toward blacks, and he's basically right. But he didn't. But he didn't point out that there's massive racism and hate speech, hate media, hate propaganda that's meant to drive and inflame black people against white people in America, yeah. And also to make white people feel guilty and hate themselves. That's racism. It is racism when a people of who created a nation, whose forefathers created this great nation, are intentionally ethnically cleansed. And that's what's going on. This mass immigration is oriented since 1965 to change the demographics of America from an overwhelmingly 90% white country to a point where whites will someday, and it's not even that far off, not only are we going to be a minority in the next 15, 20 years, the next 30 or 40 years will be a tiny minority in this country. And as Thomas Jefferson said, you know, he shudders for the thought of America if America lost its European heritage.
Absolutely right. David, thank you for being here. Congratulations on the video. Hope everybody watches it. Talk to you soon. Take care.
The dark side of diversity. And I'll be on again tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock Central, I guess 11 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow.
Very good. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Have a nice night.
Thanks, David. All right, Dr. David Duke. And that's our program tonight. It's been one hell of a busy week. It's Thursday tomorrow. And it seems like Friday. This is crazy. So much going on. Thanks for spending your time here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow in 21 hours. Talk to you then.